We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in, Monday edition, Blue Sky Live here with you in the Clark Ford Studio. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. We will discuss some Ole Miss baseball. The Rebels get one in Athens, Georgia, winning the finale, one they absolutely have to have really any, not mathematical, but any realistic chance at moving forward. We'll discuss that. Everything surrounding that program, Neil's favorite topic. There's been an amendment to the Mississippi NIL legislation that's been going on for a couple of years. It's what we've been talking about. We've already mentioned this, I don't know, somewhere around seven dozen times since we knew it was going to pass. So I'll merely give you a primer on that. Now that it has been signed into action by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves here in the last, 48, 72 hours, something
Wait.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of proud of everyone because it didn't really make a lot of splash. I had to sort of find it in a corner of Twitter a little bit. It was not something that had been blown all over the place. So congratulations, everybody. Good job. Basketball portal continuing. Football portal continuing.
Yes.
Baseball portal soon. I mean, it's a lot of portaling. A lot of portaling going on here with you today. You got the NBA playoffs. Got the NHL playoffs. Got a lot of playoffs. So all that more coming up. Blue Sky. Blue Skies, they're out in Mississippi. No matter where you are, there's one not too far away from you up and down I-55 throughout North Mississippi as well. You got the epicenter down in Macomb. You've got here in Oxford, lunch specials, $5.69, couple sides of bread, any size fountain drink, desserts, vegetables, tons of options. Vegetables like macaroni and cheese, things like that, pasta salad. They're coming up for you with the Blue Sky. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Get in touch with my friend Corey Clark. He was trying to convince me to make a trade just last night with my vehicle. I told him I could not afford that. Now it's not the time, but it might be the time for you. So get in touch with him, 662-257-1900. Corey and the people at Clark Ford, they want to be your car guy. They want to be your truck guy. They'll prove to you what that means when you make the call. 662-257-1900. Guest, join on the Campbell Clinic hotline. The Campbell Clinic is in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. The Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine and total joint care to pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, as you're all well aware, I'm a big proponent of Element, the hydration mix with different flavors. I typically put chocolate or a version of the chocolate one in my coffee, and this morning I need a little pick-me-up. I put one in there, and I change coffee flavors, and they do not get along at all. I'm sitting here kind of trying to sip through it and went, that is not the answer. But it's not Element's fault. You can use the link on our message board. You can get a free sampler pack if you'd like to purchase one. But, yeah, that – I don't know. I'm going to have a hard time kind of getting through that right now. I did
what
not
coffee
take
flavor is it?
Well, it's just the Nespresso, and I picked some sort of Starbucks blend thing, and it was not my typical ones that I would do because you – when you do the element with the chocolate, you want a pretty basic coffee flavor, because if you start combining flavors at all, and it's not like French vanilla or something, but if you get even a little bit of a weird blend, it can get a little strange on you. So I don't know. That doesn't taste right.
There you go.
We'll see where it goes here over the next little bit. Hope all of you enjoyed Morgan Wallen. If you headed out, he was there. He showed.
Yeah.
I give them credit. They were very, very clever with the little paragraph right before the show started that mimicked the language when they canceled last year, except it said, we're good, whatever. I did wonder if anyone stressed when they saw the words up on the big screens.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah. Kiffin walked him out. Oh. Lane was out with him at the beginning through the tunnel and onto the display. So, big crowd. For that event. Again, that will be annual. They will have stadium shows in Vaught Hemingway every year, and then also trying to get kind of a rotation going in the pavilion moving forward. Also, that is something that is just it's a resource to make some cash. It's a good building for it. Again, if Tupelo and South Haven can get it, there's no reason that Oxford couldn't get it with the pavilion. So that makes sense. As
why did they build the building in South Haven to look like a church? It looks like a mega church every time I pass by it. I think, why do they do that? It doesn't look like an arena. It looks like a mega church had a relationship with the convention center. And that's the offspring that it produced.
Like there were codes where you went, nope, you got to put the pedal, like you got to put these things on a building no matter what. I mean, it's kind of like a bastardization of Madison and everything's brick. It's like, no, it needs steeples and needs things. And that's interesting. I don't know. I'm sure we have some DeSoto Countyans on our board.
I mean, next time you drive
by, somebody can answer.
Next time you drive by it, look at it. If you didn't know what it was, would you think that was an arena? The answer is no.
Yeah.
You would think, oh, that's one of those big churches.
It's a satellite campus for Joel and the boys.
There you go.
Is that what it is?
That's what it would be.
Okay.
They're beaming him in.
Yeah. Beaming. So anyway, no, that's true. Yes, they're doing one every year. They are close to finalizing next year's in Vaught Hemingway. That's been a money maker. It's been good for everything, including, look, it's bad for traffic and it's bad for getting out and trying to leave if you're used to campus. But one of the huge benefits is you get so many people to your campus that have never been on your campus before. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's nothing but a positive as you move forward.
Sure.
Because people are traveling in and they're music fans, they're Morgan Wallen fans, they're whomever's coming next year fans. They're that. It's not, hey, I'm going to an athletic event because that's what I'm doing. So, no, there's definitely some tangible benefit to those things. So, that happened, trying to get the pavilion schedule lined up. Also here coming up soon for that. So, anyway, baseball. I guess we'll jump in there. We'll start there. Ole Miss has become kind of a constant, get blown out in the opening game of the series. They get beat 17-6. They get run ruled in 8 innings on Friday night. They played a doubleheader that was a really interesting 2 games. Now, I get that people are frustrated and people are not locked into the minutia of games at this point. I get that. Ole Miss 21-18 overall, 6-12 in the SEC. I wrote it was kind of funny. I wrote a kind of a resume snapshot because they were at the SEC midway point on Thursday, I think is when I did it. And basically all the responses were, no, thanks. Not reading it. Mm-mm, sorry. Can't get me into that one. I'm done. No, I'm not doing that. But the point was, and again, it's a huge if. I led my post game of the doubleheader stuff with this. It's a huge if, but their metrics give them at least a chance should they be able to find any wins down the stretch to
sure.
get into the tournament. 13-17, I think, gets them in.
I do too. They're RPIs.
They have the number 2 strength of schedule in the country. The RPI is 26 this morning, okay. I believe.
Yeah.
Something like that. But getting to 13 is going to be a chore. 7-5 the rest of the way at this point. Because the big problem that I keep saying, and it's the issue with this program right now, there's several issues, but is that we're going, hey, they stayed alive. They stayed alive with 4 weeks to go.
Right.
That's like when you're the last team in on a Monday before the conference tournaments, and you go, hey, your last team in. They're going, yeah, but by Sunday,
well, and you still
it's
have,
not there.
You still have to go to Baton Rouge, and you still have to play the team that I think's the best team in the SEC and one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the country in Texas A&M. You still have to play those teams. Look, Alabama won't be a pushover.
They beat Arkansas 2 out of 3.
I mean, they won't. They're good. And then who's the other one? Who else did they play?
Auburn.
Got to sweep that.
At Auburn.
Still got to sweep it.
Yeah, you're going to win games.
So, I mean, it's doable. Get two against Alabama. Get two at Auburn. That's four.
Don't get swept by A&M.
Don't get swept by A&M. Get one and then take two at LSU. I mean, it's doable.
But they're not showing they have the consistency to do it. That is the thing that we keep going, well, all you got to do is this. But they haven't put games together.
No, they've played six SEC weekends and they're on pace to win 10 games.
Yeah.
They've won, what, one series? Two series?
They've won been one. Two series. State and South Carolina.
They've been swept how many times?
They've been swept twice. Arkansas and Kentucky. Lost two out of three to Tennessee and Georgia.
It's kind of hard to go, oh, yeah, they got it.
And you played well against State on Saturday and for half a game. You played well against State on Sunday. And then Friday against Georgia, you just were completely listless. Just no-showed.
Yeah.
They just got dominated in every facet of the game on Friday.
Frankly, it was the only game I saw because I was on the road and driving and stuff. I saw the last few innings of the third game. The way that I guess it was the seventh inning or the eighth inning was shaping up, I thought, they're about to blow this. This is about to get ugly. And then mm-hmm. they got out of it.
No, they pitched incredibly well on the third game of the series. I mean, from a third game standpoint, you got a huge situation on Austin Simmons. Braden Jones was really good for two innings. Gunnar Dennis, if you do get in, again, just a big if, throwing a big thing up there.
Sure.
It's the start of the season because a guy who struggled on Friday night, hadn't done anything, he's in for Mason Nichols being scratched with a stiff shoulder, and now look, if Mason's out for any period of time, this is hard to get there.
Sure.
But they didn't allow an earned run in game three. They were really good on the mound. Liam Dole was really good on the mound in the first game of the day. They just made two mistakes to Charlie Condon, and they were down 4-2, and then it spiraled from there. Hit a couple big picture things, but we'll go through this real quick for anybody that missed it. Charlie Condon is incredible. I think he has 26 or 7 home runs at this point. I don't know, something like that. I think he was going into the final game of the series. He is hitting .483 for the season.
His OPS is like 1.8 something.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And what got everybody's ire up in game two of the series was Liam Dole was cruising. And now the first mistake here, this is the only minutia thing I'm going to do about it, but it's what everybody was talking about, so we'll go through it, is the mistake actually was giving a free pass to the person in front of Charlie Condon both times.
Yeah.
That is where you do not make that mistake no matter what. I think one was a hit by pitch, and then one was either an error or a walk. But two straight occasions, there were two outs. They allowed the leadoff man on, Collins, bringing Condon to the plate. Once when they were up 2-0, once when they were tied 2-2. And I asked Mike about it after that night, and I said, hey, you know, what's the deal? How'd you kind of manage that? And he said that he told the pitchers, we're completely cool walking him, throw the ball away. If he swings at it, because he does have he is prone to swing at balls out of the strike zone and get himself out, just throw it out there, and if you walk him, you walk him, and if he swings at something, congratulations us. Both times, they threw balls over the middle of the plate, and he hit them to Marsh. He had two home runs in those situations.
You know, it makes me wonder sometimes, did these guys – did you watch the Bad News Bears? If you're going to walk Kelly Lee, walk Kelly Lee. Just put him on. Don't put it where you accidentally get some of the outer half.
So, okay, that – and see, this is the question. Because, look, my Twitter has blown up. A lot of people go, nope, every time you just walk him, you do not intentionally walk someone in a vacuum regardless of situation. You don't. There are moments where you pitch to somebody.
Sure.
Now, maybe you pitch around them like we're talking about, but I'm not just, no matter the situation, going, nope, go to first. I'm not. I can't make myself do that. I wouldn't have done it to Barry Bonds in 2002.
But if you're not wanting to pitch to Condon in a certain situation, then don't pitch to him.
Well, that's the problem. Put him is on. That you're trusting your pitchers that's to not screw up.
That's my point.
And it's the same argument as the shift. They just don't pitch to location well enough. And then suddenly they kind of forget and they try to challenge him and then, ooh, yeah. thing. Yeah, no. Don't be a hero.
If in that moment, on that at bat, and I wasn't watching, I didn't see that game. If in that moment it's, hey, let's not pitch to him, then let's put him on. Let's pitch to the next guy.
Yeah, that's true. You don't even have to throw pitches anymore. You literally just go, hey.
Hold four fingers up in the air. Send him on his way.
And a lot of people are going, well, it's a hard decision because Alford's behind him and he's really good. He's not Condon.
He's not him. Again, I didn't see it. I'm not crucifying anybody. I'm just saying if you make a decision as a coaching staff that in this particular at-bat, we don't want to pitch to this guy, well, then put him on. Don't pitch around him where you might make a mistake or a pass ball or anything else. That's just true. Put him on. Hey, we don't want to give him anything to hit. Well, then don't give him anything to hit. Again, I mean, they made that mistake the Yankees did against Kelly Lee, and it almost cost them. Because they were trying to put him on to pitch to Engelbert. Kelly Lee had no part of it.
It's the biggest problem that happens in golf for a lot of people is that they're trying to decide whether to go for it or lay up. And they go, I'm going to lay up, but then they try to stretch it a little more, get it a little. No, if you're laying up, lay up.
Yeah.
Make it safe. Just hit the ball down there and then figure it out.
Right.
They didn't do that. One time he even got to 3-0 and threw a pitch he could hit out of the ballpark. It's like, once it's 3-0, go. I'm not screwing with this at 3-0. Like, because he's not swinging at something 8 inches off the plate at 3-0. And then for me to get back into the at-bat, I got to throw something over the plate.
But you know he's standing up there, in all seriousness, with a certain Kelly Lee mentality. He's standing up there going, I'm not surrendering this at-bat. No. If you make a mistake, I'm going to crush it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude is kind of on fire. He can't wait to hit.
Mm-hmm.
No. If you don't want to pitch to him in that particular at-bat, put him on. But of course not. You don't walk him every time he comes up the whole weekend. Why not just admit that you're soft? But in that at-bat, no, he's not. You're not beating us right now. Go. And if the next guy beats you, the next guy beats you. And then when people say, well, why'd you do it? Well, I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, Hammers makes a great point. He goes, the argument against walking him is you're moving a runner into scoring position for the next guy.
Sure.
That's the argument.
Well,
it's no great choice.
No, there's nothing on the...
But yes, Condon puts everyone in scoring position when he walks to the plate.
This is... Which risk do you want to take? Because there's two risks. There's no, oh, well, here's a guaranteed out. No, that's not, of course Georgia's going to put a good hitter after him.
I pitched to Condon with a runner on first, or I pitched to Alford with runners on first and second. Those are your choices.
Those are your choices. That's it. You don't have another one. Well, what we'd like to do is just have him, we'd like for them to surrender the inning. It's not an option. So you have to make a choice. Personally, I don't think it's a great choice to pitch to him right now. And there's a situation where he can hurt you if you can get away from it.
Because, I mean, I thought it was very deflating. His first at bat, maybe in game one of the series, I forget when. I think it was game one. You pitch to him, he hits a chopper to third, and then Fisher throws it away, and he ends up on second base. And, like, just mentally, you're like, oh, my God, you got him out. You had two outs, no, like, and instead he's standing on second, and they score, and it starts, like, doing all this stuff. And you're going, oh, my God.
Now, there was times in that, I guess it was the third game, where they got him out in big moments.
Yeah, struck him out. Simmons struck him out late. I think Jones might have too, actually. No, he hit the double against Jones.
He hit the double. Yeah. He crushed that ball.
He did.
That ball came off the bat like 115 or something.
Yeah.
Dude's legitimately terrific. I mean, he's a terrific player.
Do you take him or Hagen Smith one?
Him.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. Nothing against Hagen.
He's gotten better defensively, too.
I'm going to take the hitter over the pitcher all day. Now, Hagen's been terrific.
Draft hitter by pitcher.
Yes. Now, if I'm sitting there at number two and he's off the board, I'm thinking pretty hard about Hagen Smith because I think Hagen Smith's not too far from the bigs.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That cutter with the vertical break on it, that's pretty rough.
And Caglianon's an MLB hitter. He's not a pitcher. He's not a pitcher.
Yeah. Part of their problem is that they're trying to force the pitching part.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably their best game three option right now, so it just sort of is what it is.
He is. I kind of wonder if it's detracting from his offense a little bit. Yeah.
He has hit home run in 9 straight games.
He has. I do. I kind of think he might even be a Condon-level hitter.
Yeah. No, look, here's the truth. Ole Miss has got to pitch better. They've got to play better defense. They are horrific defensively still. People are so angsty right now that everything is just whatever, and they're not allowing for any moves. And I get it. That's not a criticism at all. He did make some pretty good lineup changes for Game 3 from a defensive standpoint to try to shore that up.
Yeah.
And it's if they're going to have any chance, that's what's got to happen. They just have to play better defense because they're historically bad defensively right now. Historically bad.
Yeah, they're bad. There was even a play in the third game. I think it's shortstop that I was like, oh, that's going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I mean, it's It's bad.
I mean, look, if you're betting, are they going to make it or are they not going to make it? The safe bet is that they're not.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, I'm sure they're saving all these clips again. So in the event that they go win the national championship, you've got material. But
that's fine.
I mean, play Rocky music at this point because it's a miracle.
Yeah. And no, look, Mike's not safe. We'll play it out. We'll see where it goes. There's a lot of games left. There's 4 weeks.
In your opinion, does he have to make the tournament?
Yeah. I mean, I hate that complete yes or no, but for the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Again, as long as it's still at that moment in 4 weeks makes sense financially at all. I mean, it's a lot of freaking money.
How much money?
I think it's around $4 million.
Okay.
My guess, again, I've said this last week, I don't know. I have not seen his contract, but if his buyout is based off other head coaches' buyouts in the past, it's around $4 to $4.5 million.
We got lots of time to talk about it, and we'll do it down the road. It's
too early. Like everybody, like I will give everyone caution. If you see anyone on the message board right now, or anywhere in the Twitter machine, the universe that goes, he's out. No, he's not. That decision has not been made. And if anybody goes, hey, there's a new coach by June 4th. No, there's not. That decision has not been made. Frankly, a lot of the guys you would want to hire are going to be playing baseball for a little while, and you're going to have that problem. If Mike is gone at the end of the year, no matter what, you're going to go, God, there's portal days just ticking off. Am I going to wait 3.5 weeks on somebody? That's not my decision.
The answer is if that's your guy, then yes.
Well, yeah, you wait for if it's your dude. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, that is calculus that goes into it, if that were the case.
You have to worry about what other jobs might open up at that point.
Yeah, the perception thing at this point is not relevant to me to BWL. It's not about 2 years after a national championship. That it's just your program is either better or it's not. That's period. You have to do a really self scout on where you are as an athletic department entity and a baseball program, and then make a decision. Where are we? Be real honest with ourselves.
Oh yeah,
in today's
world, you better be real honest with yourself.
What are we willing to do?
Yeah.
Because, look, that's part of it, too. And this goes for any baseball program, basketball program, and you should win at football, but any basketball, baseball program in the country. It's not just about changing coaches or whatever. It's, hey, are we comfortable with the NIL and the salaries necessary to compete nationally in that sport? Yes or no? Relative to everything else we've got to pay for and do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've got basketball that I'm trying to win at, and obviously everybody's trying to win at football. In baseball, do I want to pay the coach $1.5 million and give a 1.8 in NIL? Can I do that? Or do I have to take a step back and go, it's just not where we are?
All while paying off the other coach.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, Mac, sorry. I wasn't necessarily calling you out directly. But that's it. And, I mean, Ryan, again, I mean, we're going to break here. We're belaboring the point. But, I mean, Ryan, that's the point. He goes, 22 was a bad season until the very end. 22 was a bad season because 23 went bad. Had 23 been a 16-14 season instead of a 6-24 season, most people would go, you know what? They got lucky to get in, but they were number one in the country earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bad 4 weeks.
Sure.
That's what you'd be saying.
Sure.
23 dictated 22's perception.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go, well, I mean, Mike's always winning. Like, he figures it out. Give him credit, boy. Woo, we got to 14-16. Got in, saved some arms even.
Sure.
Yeah, a couple more thoughts. We'll come back. Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. A lot of different flavors for you. Everything from soy ginger, one of their best sellers, new one. They've also got their best seller. That is the New Orleans style barbecue. The signature is one of my favorites. It's a great garlic option. It's great for just kind of everything. Salads, protein snacks around lunch, dinners when you got stuff going on with the kids, and much more. They also help you out a little bit on the price range. Use code RG and you get 25% off if you buy 5 pouches or more. So get a little of everything, sampler. Maybe you want to just stock up on your favorites. You can do that again with Prime Shrimp. That's freezer to plate in fewer than 10 minutes, and they deliver straight to your door. Code RG, primeshrimp.com.
I'll have 10 weekend thoughts up around midday today, I think is probably what I'm looking at. They're brought to you by Andrew Seago, Seago Wealth Management. Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with a personalized retirement income plan. Andrew Seago with Seago Wealth Management specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting and see what he can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. We'll have a draft show Thursday night. We'll do a live watch. Tyler Siski and Chase will be covering baseball. We'll turn the baseball game on as well. That'll be brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern, 662-429-4429. If you're coming up this weekend for baseball, for double-decker, whatever the case may be, make sure you stop at the College Corner in Oxford, right off of Sisk Avenue. You have until May the 15th to sign up. All you have to do is tip. If you leave a tip, the tip goes straight to the collective, the Grove Collective. It also registers you for a Grove Collective Lane Kiffin signed Ole Miss football. That's at the Oxford Commons, right off of Sisk Avenue. In Oxford, obviously. 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear. Also, two locations in the Jackson area. And you can also check them out online, collegecornerstore.com. And we're brought to you by Argent Wealth. We'll have Mind of My Money back this week after a few weeks of scheduling issues. We'll be back this week, and that's brought to you by Argent. Based in Ridgeland, Mississippi, they have clients in more than 20 states. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much, much more. At Argent, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Argent will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's myargentwealth.com.
Yeah, and just this is probably semantics, but I'm seeing a little discussion on the board. When I say he's not safe, it means that he can't just throw up any record and no matter what, there's not a conversation. That's what I mean by that. I'm not saying he's definitely out today.
He's on pace for 10 and 20. If he goes 10 and 20, he's not safe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, there's a gray area that could happen because there's always gray area that happens when you're talking about these kind of things.
And money. Again, well, yeah. I always say the same thing. It's not Monopoly money.
No, it's a lot of money.
It's real money that has to come out of a different area. And when you hit up boosters for that money, even if a booster goes, look, I'm going to cover it. Okay. Is that money that would have gone to something else? Can you afford to sacrifice that? I'm not giving an answer. I really don't have an opinion on it. I'm not ingrained enough in it to have a real strong thought one way or the other. Part of what's going on now in the SEC, and you see this if you look at the records, is outside of Missouri, and I'm including Texas and Oklahoma here, everybody's invested. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure out what your level of investment must be for you to get to the top part of the league. Because, look, if you're going to really invest in college baseball, you need to be hosting regionals and super regionals.
Sure, and Ole Miss has not hosted a super regional since 2009.
And that's a huge number. That's 15 years because they're not hosting one this year. Mm-hmm. So that's 15 seasons. We'll take one out because who knows what would have happened in 2020 one way or the other. So 14 seasons where you're not hosting a regional or a super regional.
Yes.
Why? That's the question. Why?
And it's the justifiable frustration with fan base and anyone else that's frustrated because you look around the SEC and, yes, everyone's invested. There's no doubt. But Ole Miss is one of the five most invested programs-ish, six. Yeah, I don't know exactly, but I'm throwing a number out there. They're more invested than Kentucky.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's whatever the hell they are right now.
They're 15-3.
Is that what they are?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they lost 2 to Tennessee. So 15-3 right now. But here's what Kentucky has, and this is my point. This is the justifiable frustration that, frankly, Ole Miss had forever was an identity. You knew when you had an Ole Miss roster, you knew what it made up of. They had really good aces. They had good closers on the back of the bullpen. They had a really good top half of the lineup, and they sort of grinded in the bottom half and made things work. And you exactly a formula that worked for that.
I'll prove your point here.
Yes.
Top four teams in the league right now by record.
Yeah, sure.
Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M, Tennessee.
Yeah. identities.
Very specific identities. You know what you're going to get when you play one of those teams.
And it's back to the other part of this, is where, which is where I continue to harp on because I'm right. Ole Miss's problem is this is a misconception that's constantly happening. And I know a lot of you guys have heard me talk, so I'm preaching to the choir. But for anyone that hasn't, I'm just getting it off my chest again. The misconception is that Ole Miss has not cared enough about the portal. It's complete bullshit. That's not the answer.
Right.
The answer is you win in the portal by having a developmental roster already on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win in the portal because you go dominate the portal. You win in the portal because you don't need a ton in the portal. And then you go pick and choose and make things fit and work, because Ole Miss's problem is on a day-to-day level, no one on the field has been in the program to establish culture and identity and let the portal guys take that identity on. Instead, you had this hodgepodge of players come in, nothing against anybody individually, hodgepodge of players come in with all their different whatever, and there's no centralized situation that you're coming into and adapting into. Instead, everybody just kind of does their own thing. Unlike Kentucky, they're a joy to watch.
They're fun.
I'm picking them out because no one would say Kentucky's a baseball power. I mean,
right.
It's you know, Mangione, frankly, should have been fired a few years ago. It showed Kentucky's lack of interest that he still had a job, because his record early was crap.
Oh, they looked at it, and if I remember correctly, they looked at it and said, it's going to cost too much to do this. Why are we doing this? Let's not do it.
He was great in year one and then sucked for like 4 years. And now he's kind of figured it out. But no, you win in the portal by having players already on your roster and then letting everybody adapt to that. When you need everything in the portal and putting everything together, it's like Arkansas basketball this past year. You're just sort of, and it's what basketball is in general. God knows what this is going to look like in a game that's the most team game out there.
It's crazy.
Hell, who knows?
It's crazy. I will not derail the conversation. The basketball portal, the way that we're starting to build basketball rosters, is going to hurt the quality of the game, period, the end. Look, when you're building a Major League Baseball team, you don't go, hey, all right, here's what we're going to do. Let's go into free agency and let's just put our team together. No, I mean, you want a core of guys that have come up in your system, and then you look at the holes that you have and you go, okay.
Let's go fill it.
We need a shortstop. Mm-hmm. We need a starting pitcher at the top of the rotation. It's time. We're ready. Let's go get the closer.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't go, hey, let's do this. Let's get a shortstop, a second baseman, a first baseman, two outfielders, three pitchers, and four relievers out of free agency. That'll work. No, it won't.
Yeah.
And you'll spend out of your
– yeah,
I mean, look, it doesn't work.
I mean, Ryan, it's the perfect example. Everybody goes, oh, my God, LSU bought a championship. No, they really bought two great players, Tommy White and Paul Skeens.
Everybody else was there.
They had dudes.
Everybody else was there, and they were very
– Trey Morgan and Dugas, and, I mean, Dylan Cruz is homegrown.
Uniform meant something to those guys. It did. That uniform meant something to those guys. I mean –
Wake Forest last year was not a Balt team.
Mm-mm. It was a bunch of guys that played together in that group.
No, it's development. I mean,
you mentioned Charlie Condon. He's been at Georgia. You mentioned Hagan Smith. He's been at Arkansas.
Yeah.
You have guys that have been in that program, guys that are invested. It means something to put the uniform on.
Yes, it's not a money issue. It's not a portal issue. It is a development issue.
And when guys come in for one season out of the portal, just put yourself in their shoes. What does it mean to them? Yeah, if everything's going great, sure, it's a lot of fun. But what if it's not? Are you going to get really invested? Is it going to really hurt your pride that the one season you spend at wherever isn't great? Really? Especially if you have professional aspirations, you just kind of start focusing, okay, I need to make sure I'm healthy, I need to make sure I'm good.
On paper, they thought their homegrown guys were going to basically be their rotation, and they're getting nothing out of all three for different reasons. Quinn, Saunier, and Elliott.
Yeah. There you go.
And then offensively, the position players, it's been a mess. That's what I'm talking about, because the position players are the ones that play every day. That's the ones where you need a baseline of structure inside your program to set tone and all those different buzzwords that we use. But it's real.
Sure.
It's real. And you look at it, and your captain is Burford, who doesn't really play. Your captain is Morrell, who pitches in relief. He's not out there every day.
Right.
There's nobody that's just been in that program. It's not McCants and Chatagnier. We're in Gonzalez and these guys where you go, God, I mean, just the dudes. And you come in and you do what they do, and Calvin Harris and Elko and all the stuff. And it's just, it's not where they are. as a program, and that's what's showing right now. And then guys don't translate always. I mean, Treyson Hughes was their only preseason All-American. He hit at Mercer, and you had to figure out, hey, is he going to hit in the SEC, or did he just hit at Mercer? And he had 26 home runs over 2 years at Mercer. He has zero home runs at Ole Miss this year. Zero.
I think the thing about having a base of homegrown players that have been in your program, I mean, this is not the example I want to use. We were talking about Hagan Smith, so it came to my mind. They've got guys that Peyton Stovall, Kendall Diggs, mm-hmm. Brady Tigert, Hagan Smith. You've got this core group of guys that have been in that locker room for three seasons. Mm-hmm. So when new guys come in, there's a standard that gets applied. In addition to having, look, I don't think, I Mike's a really good coach. He's built a great program. He's won a national championship for years and years and years. They were the model of consistency. I don't think it's him. I just think it's, when you don't have that, that's a real thing that you can't, it's very difficult to build culture quickly. I think we're going to see this in football seasons, not at Ole Miss necessarily. At some point at Ole Miss, sure, everywhere. In this new playoff model, when you don't have it, when you have so many new faces, you get off to a rough start. I think the bus goes off the edge so fast. In college basketball, if it doesn't go well fairly quickly, it's going to be really hard to get it turned around. And now you're starting to see it in baseball, which used to be the sport where you could see the build happen.
Look, it's why I think Ole Miss has a godsend of a football schedule, because you got six games that if you just don't screw up, you win.
Agreed.
100%. And you can get in it. You're in the picture before it gets weird. That matters.
Yeah, sure. I couldn't agree more.
Well, I mean, look at Kiffin. 22, he told you, hey, it was kind of an abomination from a portal standpoint. They didn't, the chemistry wasn't there. They had no adversity handling, all that kind of stuff. And then in the offseason, he went, no, this next team, they kind of get it. And they did.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart walked into the media room at Tulane and goes, hey, we would have lost that game last year. It's the first words out of his mouth.
Yeah, and they would have.
They would have. And instead, they've been able to build on that, where these same guys are back and they feel good about this year, even though it's the big ticket transfers, which sometimes are more difficult to acclimate than the mid-levels.
Well, let's be real. Those are the ones they're having problems with.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know enough about the situation to give a thorough report, okay?
Yeah.
Princely. Had shoulder surgery. I know a lot of people that have torn labrums. He's probably going to be out 4 months at best. It's a guess. But that's standard, typically.
Yeah.
A lot of people do things to play through those. And again, everybody make their own decision.
Sure.
Everybody make their own decision.
100%.
But I think 10 years ago, the percentage of people who would play through injuries such as that was higher, because there was higher buy-in inside the culture of the program for those people.
You want to play for your teammates.
Yeah.
You want to be there for your teammates. These guys, they're mercenaries, the wrong word. But they're free agents. And they're coming in for one season. They're not signing a 7-year deal. It's not Dansby Swanson going to the Cubs with, hey, look, man, understand something. This is going to be a building deal, and you are the face of it. No, this is just, hey, come in, man, make some plays, help put this team just a little bit better so we can go just one step further. We lost to Georgia. Remember that game? Had you been on the field, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad, and that's why we brought you here.
Yeah.
That's different.
It was what they were selling. Look. I mean, I know we make mockeries of the whole tenure in a way, but in 12, it's a different era, but it's what Freeze was selling. He's looking over those recruits going, we just need a little help.
Yeah.
I do have a baseline here. We got some guys that can play. I just need y'all.
But he was
come help.
But he was bringing in freshmen to come in and be part of the program years.
Yeah. This is
now you're bringing in guys to come in. You're not even going to spend a whole calendar year in Oxford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you signed a 9-month leases up in this.
Absolutely. And so, you know, guys go, okay, well, a guy like Princely, whose goal is to play in the NFL.
Be healthy for the combine.
I mean,
Because
the most important,
because in his head, do I play the season and then have the surgery and then I'm out for, I mean, I'm not.
No, the most important day for him is sometime in late January in Indianapolis or in the Senior Bowl that week. Just keeping it real. How invested me? Are you going to go risk your professional future to some degree for guys that you've played with for 2 months? Never on the field. I mean, the answer to that is I don't know.
And now maybe the calculus, too, is, hey, if you get it fixed now, I'm better and I'm fine sure. by the time the season actually starts mattering.
Well, and again, look, if
they... Because you can't beat the first ones.
Not to get too far down this road, but if they need Princely Umanmielen to win against Kentucky at home, this wasn't happening.
Yeah, because the standard is different. Yeah, come on. This isn't your past Ole Miss where it's, hey, can you just get 7, 8? And if so, you need him for this.
Yeah, no. This is...
If you're a national championship contender, which Ole Miss is absolutely planning to be in 2024, you just go in and you handle your business against Wake Forest, Kentucky, and South Carolina.
Yes.
And then the season begins.
Yes.
You don't go to Winston-Salem and go, well, you know, no, just go win the game.
If you go to Wake and lose there, it wasn't because you didn't have him. And at that point, you weren't what you thought you were.
And Sammy's right. If Ole Miss is 8-0, suddenly players will start playing through stuff.
Sure.
Hey, this is real.
Sure.
Because at that point, you're thinking, hey, bye, or whatever. I mean, sure. You know. Because if you beat it, look, here's the truth. You beat OSU and you beat Oklahoma. I get ifs, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get a free shot against Georgia, where if you just don't screw something else up, you're still like the 5 seed, 6 seed, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Get a home game.
Yeah.
At worst.
Sure.
So.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just so weird. We've covered this program so many times where you went, God, can they get to 7?
Of course. It's not. It's playoffs or bust.
Can they get to the Music City Bowl? That'd be a good year.
It's playoffs or bust. If they don't make
That's why I'm fascinated in like the state fan base. Like I had Robbie Falk on a couple weeks ago and he goes, no, Levy needs to get to 6-6. And you're going, as a fan base, I get it. I mean, because it's true.
It's where they
are. Doesn't change the calculus on how you get there. But at the same time, you're going, is that engaging? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe in year one.
Well, and I do think outside of like 10 teams, the math doesn't necessarily change. That fan bases can still get excited about jumps. Because they always have.
Yeah.
I mean, a team who's 35th in the country, it's not really going, hey, I'm top 8. Like, when you're really honest with yourself.
Sure.
I mean, like Kentucky. They're not going, hey, playoffs are bust.
No.
I mean, they're just not.
Of course not.
We got to go to Oxford. We got to play Georgia.
Oh, like, sure. No. They're,
come on.
Now, I am fascinated in this new era to see, hey, we're going to the Music City Bowl. How many of you guys want to go play?
Now that's a different.
Now we got a report on Christmas Eve, everybody.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Because I got to tell you, if you told me that Ole Miss is not in the playoff and they're like in the Tax Slayer Bowl. I mean, the number of opt-outs. Lane's been able to avoid opt-outs to this point. Good luck. Hell, he might opt out at that point.
Might be a fishing rodeo somewhere or something. And hey.
He thought the Texas Bowl was bad. Whew. I don't know, man. That's where they are. And getting that level of investment from portal guys is going to be fascinating. And some people will at times, and some people won't. That there will be around the country, there will be programs where it's obvious that they went too heavy in the portal and it didn't work.
What do you make of these programs that are putting so much money in their stadiums right now? Tennessee, Missouri, Kansas.
I mean, I get why Kansas is doing it. Because theirs is a gamble that this is...
By the way, did you see Fitz jumping on them? Have you seen this?
No.
It feels like a Mississippi kind of thing, like the state does the Ole Miss sometimes. So for background here, people, and you can go read it if not, I'm going to be real fast here. Kansas is apparently using... this was on D1 Ticker. I just kind of read the real quick version of the summary of this. So Kansas is using some sort of like state funds that's somewhat, it's called like the Gateway Project or something that's sort of involved with the stadium building.
Okay.
And I don't know where Fitz is now. What network is he on? A Kansas State on team three. Site publisher. I don't know where he is. He used to be with Rivals back
either
in the
on
day.
3 or 247.
It's not us.
Yeah.
Used to be. Funny guy. He is like taking Kansas to task to the point of like trying to basically prove that they are not correctly using government funds in a normal way for your stadium. And like, I just kind of look at it and go, I have no mileage for this. Like I can't get there in no way.
See, I wish I'd known this because I woke up in my hotel on Saturday morning and went down to get coffee.
Uh-huh.
And there were lots of Kansas and Kansas State people in the lobby.
Why?
They were there for one of those baseball, softball, U-12 type tournaments.
Okay.
They were everywhere. Okay, they were all wearing their gear. And if I'd known that,
we got like 4 minutes here. Okay.
I should have tried to prop
Kansas AD Travis Goff denies Go Power Cat, which is Kansas State. Their logo is called the Power Cat for anybody who was unaware of that, mm-hmm. which was me 10 years ago. Denies Go Power Cat publisher Tim Fitzgerald's assertion that KU's Gateway Project is on hold and that taxpayer money is being used to renovate Booth Memorial Stadium. Goff to Fitzgerald. Every aspect of our detailed, transparent, strategic project is completely on track as planned and announced. Only change is increased momentum. I welcome you to come over to Lawrence for an interview if you're interested in gathering accurate information and covering KU. Fitzgerald subsequently remarks in a video, they're trying to say the stadium is part of the Gateway Project, which doesn't make sense. The stadium's there, and they're just fixing up what needed to be fixed up, and we all agree on that. If you look at the plan, which I have, phase one has always been the stadium and elements of the conference center. Okay, so when's phase two? Normally, when you do a major project, you have dates on the phases. Goff has now admitted they don't have a date and they don't have the money. That statement tells me, yes, the $50 million went directly to the stadium. And keep in mind, also, to secure the $50 million, they had to backstop the grant with $150 million because it was a challenge grant. They were challenged to raise three times the amount of the grant, but they used the money from the KU Foundation to backstop that. So money that people had given to academic concerns was used to prop up the grant given for the Gateway Project. Was that money actually used, or did they fundraise over the top of that and return the $150 to the KU Foundation?
Oh.
Cover your team. Who gives a shit?
Cover your beat.
Yes, as Pat illustriously said.
And I was like, I am.
It's literally
my
beat.
That's what I'm doing. Literally talking about the beat that I cover
now. Maybe it's all the mileage from the Steve stuff and whatever. I just read that and go, oh my God, who cares?
Yeah.
In today's world of college athletics, what I'll get to in a minute, where we're basically laundering money, we're worried about this.
I will say that at the hotel, it appeared that all the KU and K-State people got along.
I mean, I understand he's pissed off because technically Kansas State fans are funding the stadium with taxpayer money. But, like, yeah, really?
And he's, let's be real.
He's cheerleading.
He's pissed off.
He's pandering.
Because he covers a program that's not attractive to one of the big two, and Kansas has an outside shot.
They have a better chance. And you, Kansas getting into the Big Ten will be Kansas State's death nail of all death nails.
And you could sell me that Kansas...
And Kansas State already has a bit of a chip on its shoulder.
Sure.
That's the size of Mount Vesuvius.
That is a great logo, the Jayhawk.
Oh, the Jayhawks. I thought you were about to say the Power Cat.
No. The Jayhawk.
Looks like they belong in the Mac.
Yeah.
Oh, the Jayhawks, one of the better logos out there.
Actually,
I like the fact that Fog Allen has it basically from damn baseline to baseline. Make that.
Oh, it's fantastic. It looks really good. Some of their gear and stuff is really nice. I noticed it Saturday morning.
Yeah, guys, your tax money is benefiting things at Mississippi State. Their tax money is benefiting things at Ole Miss.
Of course.
It just is.
If you sit around worrying about stuff like that.
I can't get
Listen,
there.
If you're going to get worked up about that, then you need to really get worked up about where your federal income tax money is going.
I'm not worried about the arrows and the dots and all that stuff at the moment. So, Troy Dannon, who's now at Nebraska, by the way, he's looking at their plans for Memorial Stadium going, I don't know that I want to put $450 million to the stadium right now. Can we just add some Wi-Fi and fix up a couple club areas and call it a day? Y'all good with that?
I mean...
And he's catching some hell because I was like, no, we already have this on the books. And he's like...
I mean, if I'm in the room at one of these buildings and I'm a hand-raised guy, my hand's up. Like, wait, are we sure the facilities really matter right now? Now, I do think there's a market correction coming with NIL.
Yeah, sure.
And I do. I know I'm old man yelling at Cloud here. I'm just telling you, I'd bet heavily on a market correction.
See Harbaugh's tattoo before I go to break?
A 15-0?
Yeah.
I haven't seen
the M
it,
logo and the 15-0.
Yeah, good for him. Didn't he say he would do it if they won?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he did it.
Yeah. They asked him, it hurt. He said he's impervious to pain, I believe. That was the word that he used.
You know, the guy's a character.
Harbaugh and Patrick Swayze and Roadhouse. He says he's impervious to pain. Swayze and Roadhouse said pain don't hurt. So,
well, if you remember, Rocky Balboa, no pain.
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
We just keep going.
No pain.
No pain.
Just do another sit-up. The guy's going to hit you. No pain. Another sit-up. Come up. Hit. No pain.
He's hitting pretty good, too. I mean, it was hitting him hard.
No pain. No pain. So if you're going to make fun of Jim Harbaugh, you got to make fun of Rocky Balboa and do that at your own discretion.
I do like Philadelphia a little less this week than I used to a few months ago.
I like Philadelphia a lot less than I've ever liked. I catch myself cheering against all Philadelphia teams these days.
I don't think I'm regretting my choice for my race later in the year, but now I'm going, interesting.
Yeah.
just saying. So,
you might want to be on the lookout the whole time. You're going to be the
running
guy,
past the Liberty Bell.
You're going to be the guy doing this. Hey, did you see that guy? He's kind of paranoid looking. Yeah, no, he has reason.
Yeah.
It's justified. Everybody else is just kind of running, and you're like,
yeah, sure.
Dickerson?
Yeah. Lord. All right. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy, Tyson Drugs, G&M there on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. Tyson Drugs on the square in Holly Springs. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they offer MedSync. Free prescriptions the same day each month. Take care of you in that way. They also transfer your medications really easily. To do that, all you got to do is give them a call. They take care of the rest. So, again, that's 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. Get in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. Let him help you plan the vacation of your dreams. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa's, the perfect place for you to stop by this weekend when you're here for baseball, for double-decker. It's also a great venue, I should say, for your festive party event, your company dinner, great craft libations, fabulous food. They can accommodate up to 200 guests. For catering or booking information, contact Jeannie at 601-421-7147. Don't forget to stop by Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford as well, especially during the daytime hours, early evening before the kids take over. Great place to grab a beer, a burger, catch up on some of the games or whatnot there at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. We're also brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. They've been connecting great job opportunities to candidates since 1967. If you're on the job hunt, whether you're seeking an entry-level position or you're a seasoned professional, they have opportunities across the board. IT, engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, human resources, or more. They can help you at Service Specialist. Their goal is to get to know you, get to know your strengths, see what you're looking for in your next career move, helping you find the right fit. It's always free for the candidate. So there's nothing to lose. Get in touch with them at 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website, servicespecialistltd.com. Get the beautiful, healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. So schedule your appointment today. Take the first step toward a better version of yourself. It's CorinthDental.com.
We mentioned the strength of the SEC. The D1 rankings came out this morning. Texas A&M number one, Arkansas number two, Tennessee number three, and Kentucky number four.
There you go.
So top four teams in North and South Carolina are four, five through eight, which is kind of interesting from a geographical.
South Carolina is what?
They are none of those, actually.
Oh, okay.
Clemson, 5. Duke, 6. East Carolina, 7. Wake Forest, 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oregon State, 9. Florida State, 10. Vanderbilt, 11. North Carolina, 15. Coastal Carolina, 13. Carolina's
good time to be in
moving
Carolina's,
through this a little bit. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, 18 and 19 next to each other. Georgia at 20 after the 2 out of 3 against Ole Miss. Alabama at 23, them coming to town starting on Thursday, and then South Carolina 24 there for the Gamecocks. Ooh. A lot of ranked teams.
It's going to be interesting to see what the committee does in terms of like placing teams with so many teams all in the basically same geographic footprint.
Oh, God.
I mean, at some point you have no choice but to put...
Like if you're Irvine, you feel great about things because they need you at the hell out there with a good seed. Like anybody out west or somewhere, they can sort of grab somebody. Like Arizona is kind of bubbly. They won't be bubbly on a host. They need it geographically.
Yeah.
Just simply to not match teams. I mean, that's their problem right now.
I'm always fascinated by the super regional matchups.
Well, because they're not supposed to actually take conference affiliation into question anymore. I mean, last year LSU played Kentucky both as one seeds.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It always feels like they're trying to get rid of a.
Yeah. Just let them play.
Yeah.
Well, because you're benefiting by the majority of named programs being in your tournament.
But right now what you have is those four teams that you just named at the top, they'll have to go into the tank to not be national seeds.
Yeah, it's almost.
I mean, they're almost there. Because they have gaudy numbers. A&M's really good.
This is apropos of nothing, but Clift has done one hell of a job at East Carolina from a reloading standpoint.
He has.
I mean, they are really consistent. Just kind of find it every single year.
They kind of go to a super regional every year.
Yeah, he struggled there, but it's hard.
Those are hard.
Yeah, especially at East Carolina because you're usually you're just short somebody. It's just tough.
Nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Of those four teams, I think A&M's going to Omaha.
I do too.
I think Tennessee's going to Omaha.
Because you have to beat them in that ballpark, and it's just hard to do.
I don't know what I think about Kentucky.
They can get got in the postseason.
And I don't know what I think about Arkansas. Arkansas has some real offensive. Now, they pitch it so well. And Smith is so good. In a super regional, he's so good on Friday that you just got to find a way to win one other game. But the offense is wild.
If you're telling me to handicap those four teams, it's A&M 1, Tennessee 2, Arkansas 3, Kentucky 4.
I think so.
And I'm taking Arkansas over Kentucky just because of Van Horn and steadiness and Hagan Smith.
Well, Hagan Smith.
And
I get an ace on Friday.
Yeah.
And
Kentucky thrives off you kind of screwing up and them affecting you.
Yeah.
And some teams might be a little more impervious to that. So it's whatever. You mentioned the NIL thing. This is just some news that came out. I think April 19th is when this happened. So I think 3 days ago. Tate Reeves signed the state's pending NIL bill, goes into effect immediately. And the language says it allows schools to create or enable NIL opportunities for athletes, allows third parties to pay NIL compensation to athletes for promoting their school and their games. So, I mean, essentially, the way I'm reading it is that these schools can now market and handle getting opportunities for athletes, which in theory would include even through the collective in a way. And I'm not good at reading legal bills. I'm not a lawyer. So if I'm wrong, I will find out later today and I will correct it on tomorrow's podcast.
Okay.
I think what it does is it allows, I think it allows collectives in the state to market out the player's rights to a school. And by doing that, it lets the player promote the school, technically.
Okay.
And then lets the foundation or the school pay the collective for that. So I think we opened the avenue for the school to directly compensate, or I guess indirectly, but to primarily compensate the player back through athletic department or university funds. I think.
Okay.
That was the way the original bill, when it was under advisement about a month ago, was framed to me as one of the positives to that. Because what's happening now...
So the player basically becomes an independent contractor? That's how he stops becoming an employee?
Well, it doesn't necessarily change anything on that standpoint. It allows the collective to handle the independent contractor rights for the player, I guess would be the way I would put it, which is a yes but a no.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sort of. Again, I'm with you. I mean, we're getting into legal
stuff. Instead of the collective simply going, hey, I'm going to broker a deal where Blue Sky pays Jackson Dart, Realtree pays Jackson Dart, and I'm going to handle that. Now I think it allows them to go, hey, I'm going to broker a deal where they, where the university or the athletic department does this, and I handle the rights and I farm those rights out in some capacity. Nebraska did something fairly similar, I think, yesterday too. I think those were the two states. Because here's what's happening is there is a mad dash in these legislatures that are in on it, for lack of a better word, to get out ahead of everything to try to give you a 1 year head start on what everybody else is going to do too. Because if you get it in this session and some other states don't, well, you're going to be ahead until they can catch up. Missouri was really good about that. Drinkwitz really benefited from Missouri being the first one to kind of get out ahead of some of these things with high school kids being able to take money through, as long as they signed in state from those collectives as a high school student or a signee or however that worked. And then a lot of things like this where they're just, look, where it feels, could be wrong, today, April 22nd, it feels like we are just moving toward a pretty in-house situation. That's what it feels like to me. Again, could be wrong.
Just going to be fascinating to see how that works. Is there transparency at that point? I think transparency is needed, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Answer one question, stream. I don't think Mike's... If Mike is done at the end of this year or at any point in the future, I do not think how that goes down has an impact on Godwin's desire to take the job. No.
Okay.
I think there is an odd friendship scenario somewhere, but it's not there. So no, I think you're cool there if that were to be the choice that the athletic department wanted to make in that instance. That's fine. Sorry, go ahead. Market correction.
Well, just does this lead to transparency as it pertains to NIL?
I mean, I told you, I want a database where, like Sportico, where it's all just out there.
Hey, pro sports, we know what the guys make.
Minimum, it should be handled like stockholders. And hey, I get to see where my investment goes. Here are the amounts that we're paying these mm-hmm. players. And even if it's not public, it's sent to the donors at whatever level that is.
At which point it becomes public.
Sure.
But I think it needs to be public.
I get into a little bit of a bigger area there because why? All right, because you're not a state employee.
No, well.
So why?
Don't you kind of become one?
Well, not technically through.
If you're sharing revenues through the university?
Yeah, I could go either way. I don't know. But then you would only be entitled to show that part of it, not anything third party. Which still would mean okay.
Sure.
But yeah, I do think at minimum the donor should know where their money is going.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a blind situation. I was going to say trust, but that got into a legal term I didn't mean. So yeah. I don't know. Something every day.
It is. It's.
But look, hey, I mean, look.
It's an exhausting topic.
Mississippi is trying to stay out ahead of this thing. So if you're in on that, congratulations. I mean, you pulled it off. I mean, you're one of the first three, four schools to go there. I mean, when you try to run that through and get it, I mean, also shows cooperation from Ole Miss and state and everybody to not muddy it up, which there are times in the past that would not have been the case. You kind of got to all get on the same team a little bit for the mutual benefit of that.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I saw this, and we used to do this for Steve Williams, Tiger's caddy all the time, but it's just kind of funny because of the run that Scottie Scheffler is on right now. He won the Masters last week. He is three holes away from winning the Heritage today. Heritage, right? I think that's right. Rain came in that they knew was going to happen, and I buy the argument yesterday in golf that they didn't move up the tee times because they wanted to keep the viewing window because their ratings have been bad. And if they move it up, it changes the rating calculus, and that's not what they wanted to do at this point. But Scheffler is going to win for his fourth time in five events. The other event is going to be was a tie for second. And I saw that if the payout structure is what people believe it to be, so far in the 2024 season, Ted Scott, Scheffler's caddy, will have made a few thousand more than Rory McIlroy to date on the if he did it on the money list.
Oh wow!
As simply getting a share of the winnings at that point.
Good time to be his caddy.
Good time to be his caddy, who's had a hell of a career as he was Bubba Watson's caddy forever.
Oh,
so I mean he's
getting on the right train,
on the right bag. He is, yeah. He's won a couple Masters with him, and now he's in with Scheffler, and he's won a couple Masters. I've got it here. Let's see. Yeah. So to date, Ted Scott 1.78 million, Rory 1.71 million to date. If the structures are as we believe them to be at that point. Highest earnings in a single season in PGA Tour history, official money. Scheffler's last 42 days ranks third all time.
Wow.
He's made $16.3 million in the last 42 days.
Did they have a baby, by the way?
I don't believe the child has come yet because he's playing. I don't think that is the case. Now, one little quick thing here is golf pays out a ton more money than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Of the top seven, one, two, three, four, five, six are in the last 2 years. So keep that into effect that a whole new structure is in place. Somebody did the math on this, that if Tiger's 2000 season was included in this metric, Tiger on course or through the PGA Tour, I should say, would have made $92 million that year.
Oh, that would have been a good year.
Just for a – let's not get too far ahead of our skis on where this – I mean, good to be Scotty, don't get me wrong.
The Scheffler's having a boy or a girl, do you know?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Is that not public knowledge?
It probably is, but I just do not personally know the answer to that. So,
when you win the second one, do you get another green jacket or do you put the same one back on? You just keep the same one?
I think you only get one jacket. You get multiple trophies.
So they didn't have to make a new jacket?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's a good question, but I don't think so. Nelly Korda on the women's side, by the way, has won five tournaments in a row after yesterday.
What's her name?
Nelly Korda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Jumped in the lake after she won. That's the thing when you do when you win the Chevron, you go jump in the lake.
You gotta feel real good that lake's
safe.
Yeah. Sometimes gators are in lakes.
Okay. Yeah. She jumped in the lake. So point being, the number one player in the men's and women's tournaments together in their last 10 events have 9 wins and a second.
Oh.
bit of dominance right now from that standpoint.
Monopolization of the sport.
Scheffler, the first person to win in the week after the Masters since 1985 when Bernhard Langer did it. So to win the Masters and then win the following week as well there. So I don't know why I got on golf for a second, but I just kind of did when it comes to that. Did Florida win the Sunday game or the last game of the series? Did they get one?
I will go to the worst site. No, I'm going to do it in a different way because the SEC site.
Oh, it is.
You people.
With all the money and all the stuff and it just meaning more, your site sucks.
It's so bad. You should be ashamed. No, I mean, it's awful.
It is really bad. While he's doing that, I'll tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC. A couple packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze. That's their 1 gig option. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service, portal controls, network security, and much more. So to get the best internet in Lafayette County, that's NESPark.com or 662-238-3159.
It's so bad. Are you a displaced corporate executive? Are you wanting to put your career in your own hands? If you are, Andy Ludicky can help. He owns multiple franchises and businesses. He uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy. Put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free. You've got nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net, or 404-973-9901. Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Two sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails. There's a lot offered at Southern Traditions, including horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons to buying your first horse and competing at nationally recognized competitions. It's also a great venue for corporate outings, events, that type of thing. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. I'll have a mailbag to you later in the week. It's brought to you by Art Hayes of Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's to work for you. As a licensed agent with Sotheby's International Realty and a supporter of all things Ole Miss, Art Hayes can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you, seriously. So call and ask him how. 612-805-5929 or email him at arthur.hayes@lakesmn.com.
Florida did win the finale against Vanderbilt. So 2 out of 3 there for the Doors going into.
They lost 10-5, then they lost 5-2, and then they won 6-2.
Kentucky 15-3. They have a 3-game lead in the East over Tennessee. Tennessee 2 up on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt 1 up on Georgia and South Carolina. Those teams 1 up on Florida, who's 8-10 in the league right now. And then Missouri at 6-12 in the SEC West. Arkansas 1 up on A&M, 14-4 to 13-5. State, after a sweep of the Auburn Tigers, because that's what you have to do when you play Auburn right now, they are 10-8, so they've kind of righted the ship a little bit.
Listen to the rest of Florida's conference schedule.
Okay.
Because they ain't a gimme.
They're 8-10.
Okay. At Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Tennessee at home.
Oh.
Kentucky at home. At Georgia.
Oh, my God.
Ain't nobody handing anybody anything right there.
And they need 5. They need 5-7.
I mean, they'll probably get there. But dude, look, you could lose 2 of 3 in Arkansas easy. You could lose 2 of 3 to Tennessee right now, the way they're playing. You could lose a game or two to Kentucky, and you could go to Georgia there at the end, and that is not a gimme. You'll probably get 5 or 6 of those 12, but that's about the extent of it.
I mean, dude. Yeah, let me look at it in a second. Finish this up. State 10-8. Alabama 7-11. Weird spot for them here. They got to kind of get going, but they're ranked. It's odd. Ole Miss 6-12. LSU 5-13 after taking 2 out of 3 from Missouri. And then Auburn at 2-16. They're out of this thing. If it began today, LSU and Auburn would not make the SEC tournament there in Hoover, Alabama. A lot of LSU people have already made the reservations. That would be a bit of a...
Oh.
They might protect the tournament more than State does.
They might just go
come
anyway
and go, ah.
Well, I'll be a little pissy, though. No Tigers.
If Johnson doesn't fix it next year?
Sure.
Can you? Do they give him a third year? Or, sorry, a third year of bad?
I mean, look, it's a new deal. You've got to make decisions in this new era of, like we talked about at the beginning, how invested are you? How invested should you be?
Real quick, Florida's in major trouble here. 20-19 overall.
I know what I'm saying.
I didn't realize their record overall was that bad, even though they lost all those midweek games. RPI's 35.
Yeah.
They're actually like legitimately in trouble right now.
They need to go win games.
6-9 on the road, 14-9 at home. Yeah, it's a little scary. I mean, they're a spot behind K-State in the RPI right now. Ole Miss is, by the way, 24 in the RPI this morning.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, it's there.
It's right there.
If you can get to 13, you'll make the tournament.
7-5. Oh, it'll be a grumpy people at tournament 13-17. 3 seed in Chapel Hill or something.
Yeah, it's about right.
Wherever they're going, I don't know.
Somewhere like that, though.
Yeah. Dallas Baptist, maybe.
East Carolina.
They don't do that enough. In college baseball, this should be professional wrestling. Where can we put matchups that make sense? We're not screwing anybody, but let's have some fun.
Well, frankly, that's where a couple of times Ole Miss has kind of caught some breaks. They've gotten sent to non-major where depth wasn't a killer.
Lafayette and Southern Miss.
You know, is what it is.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad thing when you got sent to Hattiesburg. You went, oh.
No, look again.
Yeah.
Again. Ole Miss gets the banner, and you see it around town all the time. But
yeah.
Every possible break that you could have gotten, you got. Literally every – there was no – good fortune left no stone
including
unturned.
Including Tennessee losing and Auburn going to Corvallis and winning a Super Regional.
Yes.
Because I remember sitting there watching Auburn in Oregon State, and Oregon State had the – I forget his name – that ace that was really, really, really good. And you went, God, that's going to be a sack of hell in game one. You kind of got a problem. And then Auburn wins, and you start looking at the bracket and going, well,
doable.
I mean, you got Arkansas sitting there, but
sure.
Nah.
But they'd played Arkansas well that year.
Yeah.
They knew. That was even.
Yeah. And Stanford.
Yeah. No, it was right there. And then the team you drew in the College World Series was the one team you would have chosen.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want A&M in the final.
No.
And the other side was Notre Dame, Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma.
Yeah. And the one team you didn't want to play in the first game was Oregon State.
Yeah. We'll get a little more as the week goes on because, frankly, we're going to need it. We'll do some football stuff tomorrow, too. But were you able to watch your Thunder last night with the right lens? Or once the playoffs started, did we just simply want to win and we just said we're a one seed by God? Or what? Where'd we fall on that?
Okay, so it was certainly a more emotional watch because it's playoffs.
Yeah, sure.
They did what I kind of thought they would do.
Mm-hmm.
They looked
green. They won 94-92.
They looked green. They looked nervous.
Against a bad Pels team without Zion. Relative to playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, the Pels are good now. I mean, Cullum's played a lot of basketball.
Sure.
Valanciunas is a very good big who had a very good game. Brandon Ingram is a terrific player. So I don't know. Are the Pelicans – but here's the thing about the Pelicans and Zion, right, is that – I'll get back to the Thunder in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I keep seeing people do this. Well, if the Pelicans had Zion, well, isn't that sort of the franchise's motto at this point? Yeah. I mean, that's part of the Zion deal is that, yeah, when he's healthy, he's awesome. But he's not always very healthy. It's the whole the best ability you can have is availability, and he's not always available. And so the whole, well, if only they had Zion thing, that's beginning to sort of lose its resonance. But back to the Thunder, I mean, they did what I kind of thought they'd do. Anybody who thinks the Thunder's winning the title this year is out of his mind or her mind. Denver's the best team in the West. That's obvious. But I give them some credit last night. They didn't shoot the ball the way they normally shoot it. That game got tense in some spots. They did make the plays they had to make to win.
Sure.
They left with a W. They'll probably play a much better game on Tuesday night, and New Orleans probably will as well. But I don't know. I think I watched the some of the national hot takes last night.
Well, that was ridiculous.
They're not ready. Well, of course they're not ready. They're the youngest, one of the youngest teams in the NBA, period. They're the youngest team ever to be a one seed. They play 11 guys. I mean, it was very clear that Mark Daigneault, the coach of the Thunder, was trying to let everybody get a taste of this. Hey, if we're going to make a run, we got to get some of these nerves out. Yeah, Chet Holmgren turns 22 later this month.
And the West, the entire eight teams are separated by eight games. That's it.
Yeah.
There wasn't some huge stretch between the one and the eight here.
And the one thing the Thunder do badly got exposed last night, because whatever you do badly gets exposed in the playoffs. The Thunder are not a great rebounding team. They know it. Here's the thing. If I'm not making this about the Thunder, because nobody's getting onto this podcast to watch the Thunder and to watch people talk about the Thunder. But the Thunder know, and they internally have basically sent this message out. What they're going to do with this playoff run, whatever, however short it is or long it is get the data out of this, mm-hmm. right? And sit back, because every one of these dudes, with the exception of Gordon Hayward, is basically coming back. And they're going to sit down and look at the data and go, okay, what do we need? Mm-hmm. Because they have tons of cap room, and they have all the picks in the world. They can go get what they need. Do you need another big to play with Holmgren? Do you need another wing who can stretch the court? Do you need... What do you need? Figure it out. Can Josh Giddey play at this level? Last night, the answer was no. Can he play? But that doesn't mean that the answer Tuesday night will be no. They're not. If they happen to win a title, yeah, they'll throw one great big parade. But if this thing ends in the Western Conference semifinals, or if it ends, frankly, in six games in New Orleans, it's not a season failure. It's just not. Yeah. But we do this thing in media where it's, oh, there is no gray area. No, this team at this age with all of these dudes, not even in their primes yet, like both Jalen Williams's last night were terrific. The one from Santa Clara was amazing. He's going to be a star in this league. Next year, Jalen Williams is going to be an absolute beast in the league. And then the one from Arkansas hit two really big threes last night. Huge threes. They have lots of pieces that they're still figuring out and lots of picks. They have a lottery pick this year, Chase. They're going to pick 12th in the draft. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of things to do. No, are they Denver? Of course not. But we didn't do this to Denver. When Denver didn't win in year one, we didn't go, oh, well, this Jokic guy, he sucks. Mm-mm. Chet Holmgren, if he stays healthy, is going to get better. And he already is pretty damn good. Had a pretty good night last night. There's an overreaction in sports media that is absurd. I mean, did you think that their first playoff game they were going to look like the Celtics?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Celtics didn't look like the Celtics 3 years ago.
No.
And they had to go figure out, hey, this Marcus Smart iteration isn't going to get there.
Yeah.
Let's go make a move. And they made the Porzingis move. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been through playoff failures in the past. And people are like, oh, they can't do it. Well, now they're kind of doing it. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Michael Jordan didn't win his first playoff appearance.
Yeah. Last night elsewhere, Clippers 109-97, a really well-played game for them over the Mavs, which should be a good series. Boston routed Miami 114-94 to take the 1-0 lead in that series. Milwaukee without Giannis, speaking of. They got 35 from Dame in the first half beat Indiana 109-94.
Milwaukee's a great example. Without Giannis yesterday and without Lillard scoring in the second half, they got great production out of Chris Middleton. They just did the right things. They made plays defensively when they needed to, when Indiana kind of made a run at them. They looked like a very seasoned playoff team.
Tonight, game two between Orlando and Cleveland. That is in Cleveland. That's 6 o'clock on NBA TV. The Sixers and the Knicks play game two tonight at Madison Square Garden. That is Knicks up 1-0 in that series, 6:30 on TNT. And then your nightcap is, speaking of the Nuggets, they get game two against the Lakers, 9 o'clock TNT for Lakers and Nuggets tonight in that one. So
yeah, it was kind of weird about game one of the Lakers series. There was a finality to it, watching it. I mean, LeBron's almost 40. Whatever you think of his politics, whatever, who cares? The guy's had an amazing career. And in that game, once Denver got going, there was nothing that LeBron James or the Lakers could do. The margin for them is so narrow. They've now lost to the Nuggets 9 times in a row. They're almost certainly not winning that series. They can't do anything with Nikola Jokic. And you're just kind of watching probably the end. Like, I'm curious what LeBron does. Does he stay in L.A. and get the Lakers to draft his son? Does he use that free agency to go chase a ring one more place? I wouldn't fault him if he did, but you watch him, and it was the first time maybe in ever that you're like, man, I wonder what it's like for a guy who has always, since he was a little boy, been the best player on the court.
Yeah.
To go, I'm not the best player on the court, and there's no way I can be. This guy's better than me right now. And I don't know that we basketball people give enough credit to how good Nikola Jokic is. I think he's an all-time great in the prime of his career.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's just an amazing player. And I wonder what that was like for LeBron, who's always been very much in the conversation for the GOAT. I mean, we put him in the same air that we put Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. I mean, everybody says, who's better, Magic Johnson or LeBron? Everybody goes LeBron. Who's better, Larry Bird or LeBron James? People go LeBron. Well, those two dudes were phenomenal players. Wonder what it's like at the end of your career to look over there and go, I can't carry this team past that guy. I've always been able to do it, and now I can't. I just kind of wonder whether that eats at you and forces you to go, you know what, maybe it's time to hang it up and go be a dad. Or if it, no, I'm going to try to latch on to a Bucks type team.
For one last
go at it.
Yeah. More NBA tomorrow, getting some football tomorrow as well, and whatever pops up today as the day carries on. A school day game tomorrow for Ole Miss and UNA. Those Lions are back in Oxford here for the Rebels tomorrow. 11 a.m. for that one. Tons of kids, tons of parties, a lot of Miley Cyrus music and more coming up. So we'll have coverage of that at rebelgrove.com. In the meantime, podcast in the morning. Take care. Have a good day. We'll talk to you then.